Welcome to the Kofkin Bond & Co. podcast. Today, we go beyond the boardroom to explore our passion for health and fitness. We're diving into the Run the Tan event coming up in April and its impact on mental health. We were thrilled to speak with our guest and founder of this incredible event, Darren Templeton. If you're inspired to join us in supporting mental health, whether through donations or lacing up your shoes to run or walk the tan, we'd love to have you join our team on the day. Reach out to us to learn more about how you can get involved and contribute. Enjoy the podcast.
Darren, welcome to the Kofkin Bond offices and the Kofkin Bond podcast. Just as a bit of background, you and I have known each other since we were both young men. We've done many swim, not that we're young, we're still young now, mate, but we've done many a swim and bike ride and run together. The only difference between us both is you're actually still an excellent runner. So it's I can't get out there anymore, but welcome to the Kofkin Bond podcast.
Thanks for having me, Tony. And yeah, you certainly taught me how to ride a bike, but...
Could never teach you to swim, though.
No, I had some swimming lessons, but could never swim. But I think I had you on the run.
Without a doubt. So there was a daylight between you and me on the run. So there's no issues with that. If I on a short race, if I didn't have 20 minutes on you, mate, I was gone, and I knew it. So, but welcome to today's podcast. But we're actually going to be talking about Run the Tan, which is an event that you founded. And we're going to go into the history of Run the Tan and what's behind it and why we got to there, and the fact that, you know, after I think we first had a coffee during one of the lockdowns regarding Run the Tan and us sponsoring, and this year we have signed on to be a sponsor for 3 years with Run the Tan, and something that is very close to our heart, which I'll touch on later on. But Darren, can you give us a bit of a background in respect to how, obviously you come from a running background, but how Run the Tan was formed and more importantly, why?
Yeah, well, I guess, as you know, I've been a runner. My main exercise is and domain is running. I worked in the city at Telstra, so I used to run around the Tan 3 times a week. It was my local training track, and fell in love with the Botanical Gardens and the Tan track. It's my favourite spot to exercise, favourite spot to run. I've competed in Athletic Victoria and APS Old Collegians competitions, and my favourite event was around the Tan. They both have relay races around the Tan and different times of the year over the cross-country season, and always look forward to those two events. I couldn't understand why Melbourne hadn't had a showcase event to promote that strategic asset, the Tan track and the Botanical Gardens, and I guess that's where the passion or the vision sort of started. I'll come back to the mental health side of things, Tony, but I guess I had that idea about the creating a showcase event, and I always thought that the top 10 men and women's times are on the digital clocks around the Tan were officiated until a good friend of mine, Matthew Clark, who's still a current Olympian, did the steeplechase for Australia. Yeah. In Tokyo, he broke into the top 10 men's times, and in an APS Old Collegians race, and I took it upon myself. I said, "We've got to get your name on those clocks. That's a mean feat. You look at you've got your Kenyans, you've got Craig Mottram, you've got these guys that are like, you know, top of the game." Made 3 phone calls and realised there wasn't a process in place. Those clocks were donated from Bennelong Foundation, the City of Melbourne, about 12 years ago. City of Melbourne had the role to manage them, refurbish them, just make sure that there were no faults and stuff, and got on the guys in there, and they weren't interested in officiating. I said, "Oh, we don't update the clocks." I said, "We've got to update them. This is like, you know, these elites, if they break into that top 10, they expect to have their name up there." And tried to convince them 3 times in the same conversation that we needed the process, but they weren't. Just didn't want to take it on, and they said, "Oh, those times are just there, you know, just to inspire the general public." Which I said, "Yeah, I get that, but you know, we've got to update them."
You've inspired somebody to break into the top 10.
Yeah, but you're not going to update. So, right on that same telephone conversation, I said, "Well, what if I take it on?" They said, "Yeah, if you put a process in place, we'll take your times and we'll update the clock." So that's where the officiation came from. So I partnered up with Athletic Victoria, APS Old Collegians, created a governing body, created a set of rules and regulations off the back of the outer stadia rules and regulations that Athletics Australia use, and just modified that to make it suitable for the town, and then spent...
Did you have to officiate someone's time? You know, like, for example, if you got somebody going to break a Guinness World Record, they've got a judge there officiating the time officially, or is it you could just go off someone's stopwatch and
No. That's pretty much the same as Athletics Australia. So you've got to have officials in place. Yep. They've got to meet certain standard. The event's got to be sanctioned. So we make it the real...
So it has to be a sanctioned event, real, not just going sick on your runners and...
Correct, yeah. You can't use a Strava time or...
Yeah.
Anything like that. So we made sure it was legitimate. We made sure we wanted to give us credibility. Also, we had to flex a little bit because those top 10 times have been there in the public eye for 10 years, right? That had come from different sources, had been verified to a point. So we basically drew a line in the sand. So, well, anyone who had their name on the clocks up until 2019, when we put these rules in place, we won't take you off. But be prepared to get knocked off.
Okay, yeah.
And that's what's happened.
Yeah.
So we put that out.
Is Craig Bottram still number one up there?
He's still number one, yeah. He still holds the record since 2006.
Actually, not a bad bike rider, too, man.
Yeah, well, he come from triathlon. Mm. So, yeah, we did that. We launched the Run the Tan brand in January 2020. Got really good reception from the running community. We put a lot of hard work going through, because we published the top 10 and the top 100 men and women, so people were going through that top 100 to see where they ranked. We still maintain the top 100. So
the top 10 is on the clocks, but updated if somebody breaks into it. But you've also got the top 100 recorders.
Correct, on the Run the Tan website. We've also,
let's say for example, and I'll use you as an example. You're an elite runner, but let's say for example you've had six times that are in the top 100. Would your name appear six times?
No, we only take the fastest times.
One.
So okay. We treat the others as duplicates and just rank
the
individuals on their fastest time.
Yep.
We also introduced the age category records last year as well, so gone through and created the Masters age category records. We haven't done the juniors yet, but that's probably the next cab off the rank.
You got your name up there?
Mate, there's 1,000 runners with sub 12 minutes.
Is that right?
Yeah, so you want to get in the top 100, you've got to be...
Now, we're of a similar age, so are we classed as Masters yet?
We're well and truly beyond the Masters, mate.
I remember turning up to the Peter Pub once, and it was like, if you're over 35, you're a veteran. I thought, how rude, I'm not entering.
I know.
So there's being called a veteran at 35.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think when you hit 45, it's like, what do you call it?
Just give up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when your kids are saying, why do you keep doing this, Dad? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's sort of where it started. And then we launched that, and through 2020, had the vision to and the passion, I wanted to create this showcase event, but then COVID hit. So we launched the officiation, the times, in January 2020. COVID hit, Melbourne went into lockdown end of March. But I still worked through that whole year of 2020 to partner with City of Melbourne, partner with trying to get commercial sponsors to try and get this new concept up of the event, because we wanted to put some decent prize money on the table to reward and incentivise the elite athletes to come down and break records and basically put a showcase on. So you can't do that without having commercial sponsors. Convince City of Melbourne that they need an event like this. We don't have something like this. I really wanted to create a new and innovative and fresh event compared to any pure athletics events or community fun runs, and hence the design of the event that's been put in place. We've got five different vents within the one event, from the elites through to emergency services, battle of the schools, celebrities through to general public. So that was sort of what it needed to work through as well. So we had the first event in April 2020. We got through, finally got the event permit, got some sponsors, and we had the inaugural one in April 2021.
How did that go, you know, when you consider lockdowns and things like that? How did, in 2021, we weren't quite over the lockdowns by that stage, were we?
No, we were still sort of...
How do you do social distancing in a running race?
There was a bit of sweating going on. Yeah, 1 metre rule.
That's no problems if I'm running with you. You're about 4K up the road.
Yeah, there were all sort of rules in place, and you just tried to the guide as best you can.
Yeah.
Open air events were much safer than indoor events. So, yeah, all your signage and all your precursors and stuff like that. So,
yeah. We go. No, I will state at this stage, we have signed on as a sponsor for the event, a naming sponsor for the para race for 3 years. And one of the reasons being is, as far as we're aware, you are the only event in Australia, if not the world, where the prize money for the para race is exactly the same as the elite men and women. So it's actually equality. And one of the things that we're very big on in here is actually true equality. And so for us, it was a no-brainer of, you know, you'll have a sponsor for the elite men and a sponsor for the name sponsor. But for us to be able to say that we're part of supporting something which treats everyone as equals was huge for us. And that's why we signed on as a three-year naming sponsor. But where did that idea come from to start with, you know, because people are treated differently. There is different prize money for sometimes male and female events. Never mind, you know, if you win Wimbledon in a wheelchair tennis, you're not going to earn the same as the men's elite, as an example. So where did that idea come from?
You can blame me for that. I guess I was committed.
Happily blame you for it. I mean, it was a great idea.
Yeah. I was committed right from the outset to provide equal prize money to male, female and paras.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of respect for both able-bodied and paras. I think the paras are amazing in terms of what they can achieve with their disabilities, and the disabilities are varying. Like, they've got different, and hence why there's the whole this multi-class and this multi-class scoring system that sits behind the paras. So I probably underestimated how important it was. I knew it was important because it was just a principle of mine. But when I started engaging with the para community, the elite community, and telling them they're going to get prize money, let alone equal prize money, they couldn't believe it. So people like Jared Clifford, who is a world record holder in Australian Paralympics, he was so excited about it and is such an advocate for it, and he's really rallied behind it to get that para community to come down. They travel interstate. You know, Michael Roger, who came and won and broke the record for the paras in last year's event, actually broke, cut his holiday short in New Zealand, actually fly back to Australia to do the event. So, the big supporters, and it's a really positive story, I think. And I haven't done the full research, but I don't believe, you know, Jared talks, he said, we don't get prize money, full stop, let alone equal prize money. So, and that wouldn't happen without, you know, your sponsorship and
I think, though, and I appreciate you saying that, thank you, but for us, it was a case of it just made absolute sense in our charitable work. One, it's not just providing the prize money, but it's also supporting mental health. But on top of that as well, though, it's a lot of people talk equality. They don't really walk it. You walk it. You actually don't just talk about equality, you actually live and breathe it. And for you to actually make that rule from day one, I mean, so when we actually had a look at the categories, that was just a no-brainer that we are going to support. So it wasn't probably the highest visual of all of them, but it just made absolute perfect sense. When we spoke to our partners in here, it was just like, absolutely. So first of all, it's going to supporting people who are being treated as equals and should always be treated as an equal. But secondly, it's actually also supporting mental health. So it is a charity event that you run. You do have a not-for-profit now actually running it. So why mental health? Tell us that backstory.
Yeah, well, I guess I'll go back to my personal story in terms of how running's been my constant. I've been through some massive personal challenges and crises over the last decade or so, and running's helped me, has been my saviour through those massive downs. You have your ups, but it's the downs where you need something to save you. And I'm a huge advocate that for the benefits that running has on your mental health. Research has proven, we trot out two pieces of research. One is running for just 15 minutes a day can help reduce the risk of major depression by 26%, which is massive. And the second piece of research that just came out from the University of South Australia last year was that exercise is 1.5 times more effective than counselling or leading medications, which is massive. So it doesn't take away the fact that the importance of getting help and counselling and getting medication if so, scientifically you need the medication. But I think too often people, it's too easy to take a pill, like an antidepressant pill, than actually just look at your lifestyle habits, whether it be exercise, diet, mindset, but just the benefits of exercise and social connection.
So too, you know, people have often spoken about that runner's high. And it's a real thing, you know, having spent my entire life, now it's just on a treadmill, but having spent my entire life doing sport of some type, and a lot of it was being individual sports, not necessarily team sports. I played football at school, but that was basically it, but so individual sports, but those individual sports is, you know, triathlon is an individual sport. But on a Saturday morning, you and I would spend 4 or 5 hours together with a bunch of other people and just ride and have fun and banter and go at each other. So the mental health aspect of the endorphin rush that you got from that, but you also got that dopamine rush of looking forward to catching up with your mates.
Yeah.
You know, so it's on a 6 a.m. departure on a cold Saturday morning, you're still there and you're flying down. And you know, I've often said the man ego and sometimes lady ego too was involved in that as well. But there were some really great days out there that we've had. You know, the days where it's, you know, snowing at the top of King Lake, or you know, or we're getting washed down Beach Road, or we have a, you know, I remember Kurt once said, we were coming back from a 200k ride and it was a 40 degree day, and going down Beach Road it was like riding into an industrial hairdryer, you know, in front of you. And the whole aspect of that though was you just felt great. And the endorphin rush that you got from that, and it's not a rush where you have a big high and then come crashing down, it was just that real sense of satisfaction, camaraderie, friendship that was actually formed out of that, doing something which is really healthy.
No, I absolutely agree. And if I'm feeling a bit off, or you know, down, or distressed, or whatever, going for a run, and it only has to be a 20-minute, half-hour run, you come back and feel a totally different person. And you talk about the elements, right? You go out for a run, whether it's cold, wet, windy, hot. It actually builds resilience. Like you don't feel like doing it, but once you put your runners on, or you jump on a bike and just get out there and do it, you forget the fact it was hard getting out the door. But yeah, you feel $1 million once you come back.
I mean, for people who don't necessarily like running, and you know, and I unfortunately can't do this anymore, but I used to love my 2.5 hour runs down to Studley Park. Just along the river trails there, where there's some parts where you had to stop and climb over logs and make sure you didn't, you know, if it was a wet day, not slip down into the river, because it's quite a fall down there too. But those 2.5, 3 hour runs down there, you know, and running basically at 6 minute K pace, because you can't run any faster because you fall off the ledge. But they were just sensational. Love that, you know, going out there with Scotty and Terry and things like that, and just running and being able to talk with each other, and just sometimes doing it by yourself or solo, but the serenity, what you took in, it was just absolutely wonderful. It was mind-blowing, absolutely down there. And you know, even going along Beach Road, along the dirt tracks there, it was just, once again, it was just, and seeing so many people out, once again, rain, hail or shine. So it's hard to state that it is not good for your mental health, but it does bug me, and I've said this many times before, wouldn't it be interesting if somebody said, we need you to start by going and doing a 20-minute walk every day? And maybe if we don't eat all those burgers every day, we can start getting your health in order and your mental health in order. And because as you said, you come back from that run, and I've never heard anyone say, I regret doing that. You know, when you finish something like that. And it is so powerful. So run for the tan. Give us all the details.
Sure, yeah. Well, we're going into our fourth annual showcase event. So this year's event's on Sunday, the 21st of April, down at the Tan Track. We start and finish at the Pillars of Wisdom. Some people call it the Horse Trough, but it's officially the Pillars of Wisdom. So even on Google Maps, on Alexander Avenue there. There's five key events, five different events. So you've got the Elite Showcase, able-bodied men and women, together with the separate event for the para elites. So they'll be racing for prize money and for records and getting their name up on the up in lights and for some decent prize money. Now these aren't in the order that the running day goes, but then you've got the celebrity challenge. So we invite special guests to come down as VIP guests, whether they're current or past AFL, soccer, like sporting identities.
Are you able to name any of those at the moment?
We're still working through it, okay. It's still a bit to be confirmed on quite a few of them. But we get a good turnout. We had about 25, 30 identities come down last year, and it keeps building and getting popular each year. Sometimes we've got to work around their media commitments, the guys that are like commentating for AFL and stuff, depends what their media commitments are. But that's a fun event, they love it. Some of them are competitive, and like Dave Hughes, he's done it every year, he's a great advocate for the event. But
he's not a bad runner either.
He's a really good runner.
He's not a bad tennis player too. Yeah. I've seen him play tennis down St Kilda Road.
Yeah, but he had an accident in the surf up in the Gold Coast with his family just recently, so he's going in for shoulder surgery. I'm not sure he's gone in yet, so he's tentative at this stage, but we'll get him down there.
Don't need a shoulder when you're running. Come on, Dave, you can do it.
Yeah. Alicia Loxley from Channel 9, she's committed to come down. She did it last year, and I think she's got Husey's time in sight, so look out, Husey.
That'll get him a turn up.
Yeah. Yep. And then we've got the emergency services in their own dedicated event. So that's fire, police, ambulance, Australian Defence Force, health professionals, surf life saving, so anyone in that first responder type category. So that gets good support, and that's all around. Like mental health, you talk about mental health being an issue in society, like those first responders, there's a lot of underlying mental health issues just from their
PTSD.
Yeah, massive. So they're big supporters of the event and love that we put it on. And then you've got the Battle of the Schools, which is only been really going for officially for the last 2 years, and it just keeps growing and growing. The schools love it. We've created some perpetual trophies for male and female that they get their school name engraved in. They run in their colours for their school.
So are they running for individual glory and school glory at the same time?
Both. Well, we give away a few rewards for that. So we got the perpetual trophies for the overall winning male and female teams. And then we give three participation trophies. So for the school classification, like all boys, all girls, or co-head. So that's for the schools that had the most team members. Because we don't want to just recognise the elite kids. We want to recognise participation. So that's how we do that. And then they all get their individual times as well. So they get their medals for, first, second, third in there. For their gender. So that's a fun event. And then the general community event, the Fun Run community event, which is open to everyone from whether you're a...
I think we've got everyone signed up here, haven't we, Jordan, or the Coffin Bond team? I think there's a few that'll be walking around, as I've said, so there are, but they're still turning up, and uniforms are being ordered, I believe. We'll have our corporate colours out there.
Yeah, now, fantastic. And that's open to both sponsors and any corporates, any businesses, any social clubs, families. They can create a team in that community event, wear some branded
tees. All runners individuals?
All runners individuals, So you can have a lot of fun with it, make a day of it. It's a real good community vibe. So,
how many people are you expecting?
It's hard to tell. People register really late. We had about 1,200 last year, and it's doubled sort of each year since we've launched it. It'll be hopefully between 1,200 and 1,500, 2,000 participants. But you get a lot of people coming down to just watch because you've got the Olympians. You generally got to pay and watch those Olympians race, So they're coming down. It's free to spectate. There's a lot of happening, entertainment, food and stuff like that. So, and the great thing about the TAN and the Pillars of Wisdom, the race starts and finishes in exactly the same spot, whereas a lot of marathons and other fun runs, they start and stop in a different spot. You don't really, even if you're participating or spectator, you don't really get to see the whole start and finish. So that's the great thing about the Pillars of Wisdom, start and finish in the athlete village.
And the spectators don't have to wait that long.
Correct.
So it's not like a half Ironman where when's Dad finishing?
Yeah, exactly. So, and the other thing we're really driving is that teams competition. We're introducing a new teams award. So, you know, so we're engaging with run clubs, with Athletic Victoria to create a bit of competition in terms of head-to-head on the teams and club versus club.
Okay.
So
you got some of the APS down there, or some of the teams? Or
APS have got a competition the day before, okay. But it's probably more through AV,
okay.
to the AV clubs,
okay.
Whose competition starts the following week in Gels Park. So trying to sort of promote it as a launching pad into the
good warm-up for
AV cross-country season, yeah. A lot of them do time trials a week before anyway. So same with the schools we've tried to line up with their cross-country season.
Great. Yeah. Darren, in closing, I want to thank you for what you've done. I know running's a passion of yours, but what you've done is really shown your passion. I think the fact that you're doing it for mental health, which is for a really great cause, especially since COVID. Unfortunately, you know, people's mental health has deteriorated quite badly. The way that it's the event is just so inclusive, and the equality. You're not a person who just talks it, you actually live it. And very proud to say that you're a friend and have been a friend for a long time, and we are just so thrilled to support the event and see you in April. I'll even be jogging around. It'll try to be a jog, mate. So the knees have to put up with it. So they can put up with me walking, they can put up with a little jog.
Well, no, that's good. Like, we call it Run the Town, but we welcome anyone, whether they're walking, kids, like, to walk or run, doesn't matter. There's no pressure.
Yeah, no, I've always said that the slowest jog is faster than the fastest walk, but I might actually try to prove that wrong this time. So we'll see how it goes. But Darren, thank you for coming in. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for promoting Run the Town with us as well, and thank you for having us as a sponsor.
No, well, thank you for coming on board, and thanks for all your support.
Pleasure.
The Coffin Bond Podcast is a product from Coffin Bond & Co., which we are an authorised representative of Cairn Financial. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended as a substitute for professional finance, legal or tax advice. The hosts of the Coffin Bond Podcast are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Before making any financial decision, you should read the product disclosure statement and, if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. Do not take financial advice from the podcast. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the Coffin Bond website, or you can find resources on the ASIC website and find a registered financial professional near you. In the spirit of reconciliation, Coffin Bond & Co. and the host of the Coffin Bond podcast acknowledge the traditional custodians of the country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today.